Evening. This is Sex and Liberty. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman.
And I'm Luann Hernandez.
How are you, my darling?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's very good to be here tonight.
Yes, it is.
And it's warm and hot and sizzling in here. Yeah, we're like dying. Okay. So we're here tonight and we're going to talk about something very dear to us.
Mm-hmm.
And very important. And we're hopeful that all our female listeners are going to absorb something out of it and, you know, take it and use it and spank their partners with it.
Yes. And that the men will enjoy it as well.
I know. So you want to present our topic tonight?
Sure. Our topic tonight is female sexual desire.
Ooh. I'm getting hot just thinking about it.
I know.
So, yeah, there's so much to say about sexual desire when it comes to women because, and I like to start with a quote from Robert Frost, one of my favorites, and he said that the female need is an irresistible desire to be irresistibly desired. And that is right on the money to me. I mean, it kind of sums it up when you think about it because a big part of female desire is based on the fact that you feel desired. What do you think?
I could see that a lot. Yeah. I think a lot of women view that in general as being an outside source. Like you want to be desired by somebody else outside. And I think we can also work on desiring ourselves as well.
Right. But do you think that the main thing that is external, that creates, that kind of ignites female desire is the fact that you feel desired? Is that like 50% of the equation?
That's interesting. I think that's probably about 50% of the equation. I find that if you are able also to exude the idea that you are desirable, that it becomes this weird little like symbiotic type of force where men desire women that already feel desirable.
Okay, like, so that you mean, I'm just stopping you in the middle to verify what you mean.
Yeah.
You mean these advertisers, you know, that tell you, buy a red bra because you'll feel desired and then you'll exude it. This is what you refer to?
I think it's more, I don't even think it means like about having a red bra or anything.
No, just specifically.
Confidence. Yeah.
Yeah. That something external will make you feel something that you wear or the way you wear your hair or
no,
something.
No, just like your confidence. It's not something about what you have on you. It's just kind of like men find confidence and security desirable.
So confidence or appearance?
I think it's not necessarily appearance. I don't think men necessarily find just appearance.
Desirable.
I think that it's a way of holding yourself and a way of being comfortable with your own sexuality that makes men more comfortable being desirable.
Okay.
Yeah.
But being visual, it probably has to. So you're keep going. Yes, I disturbed you.
No. I think that when women feel more comfortable too in their sexuality, that men, that they recognize their own desirability and that men also start to recognize it as well.
It's a cycle.
And so because you feel more comfortable with yourself,
they find you desired.
They find you more desired. And then because people
they
desire
find you,
you
desired, you feel more desirable. It's endless.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
It's like make it till you make it.
I know.
You know?
Yes. And make it. Mm-hmm. So I want to start with one of the latest success books that I've came across, which is Daniel Bergner's book, which with the wonderful title, What Do Women Want? So since Freud, we've been trying to fucking answer that question unsuccessfully.
Yeah.
What do women want? What the fuck do you want? I mean, nobody knows. And the book is kind of going on and on about what is it that really women want? But he emphasizes and talks a lot about Eros and female desire in general. And he cites a lot of studies and a lot of researchers. And one of them is a study by Meredith Shivers, who is one of the biggest researchers in this field, and she actually conducted a bunch of studies about a bunch of experiments on women and men, but I'll relate to the female part. And what she did is she took different oriented women that describe themselves as heterosexual or bisexual or homosexual, it doesn't matter, or by society, it doesn't matter, you know, whether they said they were or society would title them as that. Mm-hmm. And she screened, she had them sit in a room, and she screened picks, bits and pieces of different erotic scenes to them. So it could be an Adonis walking on the beach, or two females having wild sex, or heterosexual sex, or primates having sex. And she did a different thing with the males, but what she did with the females is using a plethysmograph. Do you know what it is?
Is that the thing that you put up inside?
Right. Yeah. So for women, it was vaginal. Just for our listeners and viewers, it's
maybe
something that you
maybe we should describe
explain
it.
And describe it and show, yeah, and give all the sizzling parts about what it makes you feel.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what it's supposed to do is actually kind of verify that the physical reaction is what you verbally say, that it's sort of in accord to the other side. And what she did is that she actually asked these women, what do you find attractive? And at the same time, she examined the reaction of the plethysmograph inside them. And what do you think were the results when it came to the women?
I think they were aroused by a lot more than they said that they were.
Okay. Do you want to be specific?
I think that the vaginal reaction was a lot, you know, for most of the scenes was pretty much the same, but what they said was
pretty much the same. So they found everything arousing.
Yeah, I think they found a lot more arousing, and then what they actually felt comfortable saying they were aroused to.
What do you
would
think
go in
they
line
felt
with,
comfortable
with what they with whatever orientation they were set up with?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, it was very close to what you're saying, but it was unbelievably shocking to find that women. Not only that they found everything arousing, including the apes.
Right.
I'll have you know. The plethysmograph went crazy. I mean, it was, everything just was up the roof. They couldn't really, it really showed that they found absolutely everything, including the heterosexual women that claimed that they found nothing about the female-on-female action interesting. But, you know, their vaginal reaction showed differently. And it was interesting because they kept asking and trying to create less bias when, they try to make it more comfortable for the women to answer
affirmatively,
anonymously, maybe, or, you know, saying, trying to create the right frame for it for them to really give you the right answers. And they kept saying that they didn't find it attractive, not this and not that. And as I said, even the frolicking or, you know, penetrating apes were extremely exciting
right.
for the women. So what do you think that is? I mean, is this just a social thing that we're like uncomfortable with? First of all, do women really find everything that attractive, including the apes?
Well,
I mean, watching someone,
if women are, when women really, one of the big problems is that women are taught to suppress their sexuality in our society.
Do they?
Yeah. Really? No. I know. Shocking.
Yes.
But,
okay.
You know, I think women's sexuality in general is very, you know, we've talked about this before. It's very fluid. It's very open. And I think, you know, it's that women would find so many things sexually arousing doesn't surprise me. It's usually when, you know, I encounter people either professionally or personally who seem to have a little bit more of a suppressed sexuality.
Yes.
Or repressed sexuality, however you want to call it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's shocking to me because if you could just release and let go of those like barriers.
Inhibitions
and
social or personal.
Yeah, exactly. I think that it would open them up, not only just sexually, but just, you know, who they are as people too.
Right. So you think it's only the restriction is only social, but women do find everything attractive. I mean, the vaginal, everything sets the vaginal fire.
Well, I think it's also part of empathy. Like, I think that also comes into play as well. Like, women can empathize with other women. You know, when you are watching,
we're talking about arousal, though,
right? But it's, I think part of it is empathy is feeling as though what's going on is happening.
We know what empathy is, but I don't see how empathy will relate to like fucking apes. On that note,
yeah,
just that.
I mean, but they also did apes. They weren't doing like here are two cockroaches going at it.
Yeah, but it's still like. It's interesting that women found that as arousing as the Adonis walking on. And by the way, I'll have you know that the Adonis walking at the beach. Yeah, he didn't get the highest score.
No, because it wasn't
with his V-shape and all of the above.
It's not active.
It was like, oh, he's hot. But okay, you know, I like the apes better.
You know? I like to see the actual action.
Let me see some penis vagina going on.
Yeah. Don't give me the softcore crap.
Please, just hardcore here.
I know, just hardcore. So, Animal Planet, that's fine. Yeah, I'll take what I can get at this point.
That's good for me. Or, you know, a double vagina.
Yeah, exactly.
That's also good. So, yeah. I tend to agree, and I found that experiment very reassuring because I do believe that female sexuality, and we'll talk about fluidity and all of the above, but I do find, I was actually surprised that they found, you know, for instance, the Adonis less attractive than the apes, for instance. I would think that on a personal level, I would be more excited about the guy walking with his dick windling.
Well, was it hard or was it soft? They didn't really specify.
Well,
did they?
They did specify.
But he's trying just walking to recall. With an erection?
He was walking with an erection partially, part of the time. I think he probably saw the fucking apes.
I know. Well, I mean, like a naked guy walking around.
Yeah, but he was really hot. And, you know, yeah. So I can, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, but it's not going to arouse me. I'm like, a really hot naked guy.
Oh,
like,
please. I've seen you getting distracted. Things well, much the smaller.
But I mean, I'm not like, I'm just like, ooh, it takes a little bit longer.
Yes, longer and longer.
I know.
Yes. So other theorists claim that, I tend to agree with what Shivers found in these experiments, and I do support the idea that female sexuality is so vast and fluid, and women get excited over and really aroused over almost everything. Really, I mean, it's we find some things more arousing than others, but I find that women do get excited over most, and when it comes to anything sexual or that should create arousal. But other theorists claimed. And this is interesting, especially in regards to this specific experiment or similar ones that use plethysmographs to examine females' moistness, you would say.
Mm-hmm.
They said that, their names were very complicated, so I'm not going to say, but it was a Canadian research, and they said that... this moistness or this feeling that this sensation that what it examined and found, the plethysmograph, was actually something that a vaginal reaction that is based on an evolutionary biological reaction that has nothing to do with arousal per se, but actually has to do with sort of a system that protects women from the possibility of being raped or taken forcefully.
Yeah, I've actually heard this study before.
Yes.
Yeah. So the
moistness is actually, you know, the vaginal lubrication is actually there to create a kind of a barrier for women not to be hurt by a possible invasion. I find that it sounds almost like a warfare.
I know.
But it's it's there to protect them. And actually that lubrication is not an indication of arousal. it's just a biological reaction or evolutionary remain, and that it has nothing to do because, and I quote, they say, women do not really want to have sex with bonobos. They don't? I don't know.
I know. That's hard to say because some people do.
I know, because, you know, so I don't
maybe
necessarily.
Maybe not all women.
I know. But what do you think? Does that make sense? I mean, you said you were familiar with the
I mean, they said bonobos are the closest to, like,
yes,
they
have sex. This is why I said bonobos.
Yeah, because I was going to say, because bonobos also have sex in missionary position, and they use sex as a currency in their little communities.
Right.
And it's also a matriarchal society. So it's, you know, I'm like, well, if you're using bonobos, I mean, we're talking not that far from the tree.
No, yeah. And, you know, if it's a hairy guy.
Not that. I mean, let's just say, no.
I know. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. So what do you think? I mean, does that make sense that they're completely claim the opposite?
I mean,
that it has nothing to do with excitement or with arousability. So,
I mean, it's hard to, I mean, the human body is very complex also, and but also the mind is.
Yes.
And our barriers to wanting to accept, I think, our own sexuality and desire is probably more significant than these evolutionary, potentially evolution, because really evolutionary is psychology and biology. Let's be real. There's no way to really test it. Like, we just kind of guess. You know, we make theories on it, and we kind of will draw conclusions based on it, but there's no hard, fast rule the way there is with a lot of other.
Well, you know,
sciences.
When it comes to anything human, it's a problem because we can't have experiments. But regardless of how, you know, how strong what their claim is, do you think that it makes more sense that women did get aroused or, you know, lubricated because of arousability? Or is that maybe really
just like a self-protective factor in the event of getting raped?
Or something, maybe middle, midway.
midway, halfway.
Maybe something, because I, for one, I do think that it makes more sense what Shivers said, that everything was arousing, than the protective factor of lubrication in case of rape.
In case of rape, yeah.
Of forceful entry. Of any form.
Yes, exactly. They're like, whoa.
You're here. Okay.
They're like, yeah, well, in all fairness, they already had an entry, an invasion down there while they're studying this. So let's be real.
That is
already
true.
Something in there.
I know, something is going on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they didn't use a plethysmograph, but they related to the studies that did use plethysmograph,
right.
And they said that they didn't find it. They don't want to have sex with a bonobo. On a lighter note, you know, all these magazines always have polls when it comes to, and a bunch of even scientific magazines have different surveys and polls when it comes to how much sex do women want or how much sex do men want, and does it fall into place together, and do they want the same thing? And I'll get to it, but there were a bunch of, from the same polls, there were a bunch of things that they kind of concluded after examining the females and males that kindly agreed to give their reactions that, you know, usually it's so biased and it's so not true and it's so not real because we're always concerned about what people are going to think about us. And as we said about Shivers and her conclusions. But I found a few things that are kind of entertaining. Oh. And one of them was women who regularly attend church.
Oh, God.
Are less likely to have permissive attitudes about sex.
Shocking.
I don't know if it's the same for synagogue. I think that's because I'm talking from the Jewish perspective. You know, the Old Testament tells you to be fruitful and multiply.
Right.
And I say, you know, be playful and multi-climax. It's better. And my rabbi will support me.
Yes.
I don't have a rabbi, but if I did.
if I had a rabbi, he would agree with that.
Yes, he would agree with this. Another thing was, That was really funny. Women were more influenced by attitudes of their peer groups. So it's like, do you swallow? Because I want to know. I'll do it if you do it.
Like, hold up.
No, because I need to know. Like, I'm not going to do it if you don't do it. Exactly. So let's decide on it. Are we going to do it?
Let's make sure that we're all on the same page.
Yeah, on the same page.
Are we the girls that swallow or
yeah,
the girls
no,
that
because
don't?
We need to have like a pack.
Yeah, exactly.
The swallowers. Yeah. So that was something like that. And this is something you like and that you can relate to for both of us. Women that had higher education were more likely to have performed a wider variety of sexual activities. Including oral sex, for God's sake.
What do they mean, including? Is that something that doesn't happen?
It
like,
doesn't,
I don't understand.
Yes. Some people, it doesn't happen for them. So I'm now shocked on two ends.
Yeah, I know. I was like, whoa.
I know. Yeah, so unbelievably,
blowing my mind.
Isn't it amazing that women that are educated and you know, advanced will find oral sex appealing?
Makes sense.
Who thought that?
Yeah, I feel like the rest of them just haven't tried it enough.
I know. What have I been doing?
Exactly. I'm like, what are you doing in
there?
What
are you doing in there? I know. There was another one that I found, you know, kind of truthful and unfortunate. Women were more likely than men to show inconsistency between what they're expressing or the values that they really practice.
Shocking.
So shocking, yes. I'm not going to do it. You know what? I'll do it. Don't tell anybody. I'll do it.
All right, I'll swallow, but don't say
I know,
it to
yeah,
anyone.
We're going back to the swallow.
Just don't tell my friends because they are not part of
no,
the swallowers.
That, yeah, that pack, I'm hanging out with that pack and it's like I can't afford it.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
I'll be kicked out.
I know.
With a big scarlet S.
I know.
For semen.
I'm going to have to be wearing it on my vagina.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, it's not a good thing. Yeah. So, yeah, what do you think? I mean, does that make sense? Women are like that? I mean, are we like that?
Are we like pretending that everything's
pretending
okay when it's not?
Pretending that everything that is okay, that it's not. Claiming
I'm
that we're not
fine.
Swallowing when we do. Performing oral sex.
Shocking.
Yes.
Shocking. How dare. Oh, yeah.
Is this who we are? I mean, again, it goes so against our, at least, you know, from what our beliefs and, you know, belief system.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think in general? Is this very representative of the female, you know, kind of behavior when it comes to?
I think it is difficult for women to be direct and honest with what they what they do in general, but especially when it comes to sex, because there's the whole fear of being labeled a slut or a whore.
Even in this revolutionary time.
Look at my
allegedly. Look at my face. What does that
look
tell you?
At my face. What am I saying?
I
No, I think, you know, I think it is a lot. I think it is still a problem. And I think, you know, I think women do feel a lot more inhibited. I mean, not a lot more, but I do think women feel inhibited acknowledging that the extent of their sexual desires and both.
So they feel the need to lie about it.
Yeah.
Even, well, to their friends, which is kind of surprising because women do like to share stories.
Yeah. Well,
you know, and kind of dirty
stuff.
Yeah, well, us.
Well, the women we know like to share the dirty stuff.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, but it's interesting. It is still interesting that in this society, women, even though it's so embraced to, you know, female power and we have all these shows, you know, and everything is so...
Sex in the City.
Yeah, and so pushed towards, you know, this empowerment to be sexual and to be proud of it. But still, we're lying about our actions and we're not saying, you know, and we're like, we have to kind of compare with others to feel good about it.
Right.
And if we go to church, for God's sake, I mean, that's like unheard of.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll go into the whole thing if women want sex more than men, but it's funny, I found the avian world is you know, comparing to the mammalian world, it's kind of interesting because the alpine accenters, you know, which are French birds, I think because they're French.
Right, that's why.
You know, it's like bonjour baguette, kind of, you know, every morning. So they like, the females are actually pursuing the males and harassing them to have sex with them. They're like you, man, you're not really providing. I'm going to have to check in with someone else. You know, keep kicking the work. I mean, otherwise they're really like very harassing the males.
Maybe I'm a French bird.
Could be. I saw some aspects of that.
I think
it
that might
happen.
True.
Yes. Yeah. I think we should examine that. So going back to that poll that I said before, they asked, of course, men and women, how often would they like to have sex and what is acceptable to them? What do you think? Just throw a wild number.
Men think they want to have sex 7 times a week.
Every women, day.
Yeah, I think men think they want that.
What is that, like 100% of men think that, you think?
Not 100%.
But and close?
I think a crazy amount probably. Like, I want to have sex every day. Reality? Mm-mm.
They don't?
I don't think most men want to have sex.
They want to have a beer and go to
They're
bed.
Like, oh, that was fun for like a week and a half.
Goodbye.
I know. Like, I kind of want to just sleep.
Yes, and when you wake up, I'm not there.
I know.
Okay, so yeah, so just wild guess. You think that men would say every day?
I think men would
close
say
close to 90% of men would say every day, and women.
And women probably are like, oh, 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah, it's like, you know.
No, I don't need to have it that much.
I don't need to. I'm like, I'm just gonna go to bed with my
vibrator next to me.
With my romance novel and my vibrator.
Yeah,
and just think of
somebody else.
Anybody. Well, you know, it was actually surprising because, first of all, I want to say here and now that anything less than 3 times a week, I'm not reporting because you need to go fuck yourself. It will do you good. Honestly, yeah, literally, point, you need to go fuck yourself.
At that but point, you need
yes,
to.
Yes, I'm not reporting it. I'm sorry. I apologize. But if you want it less than 3 times a week, I'm not even talking to you. But yeah, so men said, 32% of men said every day, in comparison to 25% of women, which is very close.
That is very close.
That is very close and very low.
Yeah.
You know, these were the highest numbers, of course, you know, right, the highest day. Percentage. But every day was 32 comparing to 25. And then 3 times a week was even closer. Men said 29% said 3 times a week and 27% of women.
Oh, 3 times a week seems to be the right amount for everybody.
It is the right amount. Wait, I would how many say were 3 6? Times a day, but what?
How many had 6? Giving one day for God. Sorry.
I am not reporting them. I am not. I'm not accepting that kind of thing. I know. Yeah, so... So, yeah, so that was interesting and kind of more truthful than I would expect. But I want to stay on this subject for just a minute and ask you, do you really think, so you started and said that men claim that they want to have a daily encounter, at least, right?
Right.
Like once a day. But they don't really. How often do you think they really want it?
I think it's probably about 3 times. I think
yeah,
about 3 times a week. Then the rest of the time they want to whack off.
Really?
Yeah.
They prefer to walk off.
I think it's less, I think, you know, sometimes what we probably see and professionally also is that men get a lot of performance anxiety and the idea that sex is a performance. I'm like, I'm not going to give you an applause after you orgasm or I orgasm. That's just not going to happen.
I may.
Unless it's amazing.
I may.
I mean, let's just be real.
A standing ovation.
Yeah, I know. Unless it's freaking like.
Amazing.
I know.
Yes.
Freaking ballet,
yes,
you know, but no, most of the time it's kind of
a
like
recital.
Most of, yeah, exactly, most of the time it's like a B-rate movie, like, you know.
That you is know, so unfortunate.
Every once in a while you get an Oscar worthy one.
I know, it's like at least something close if you played your instrument right, a Grammy,
just saying.
Okay,
most of the time it's not in that. Not in that
category. Yeah. Okay.
Let's just be real. Like, yes. Keeping it real.
Oh, this yeah. is so unfortunate. I'm but so sad.
It's true.
Yes.
I mean, so men feel this performance anxiety, obviously, as we're...
So they prefer to just jerk off and...
I think that... And then it also takes work to get a woman to want to sleep with you.
Well, if you are in a relationship, I'm talking...
Even if you're in a relationship, mm-hmm. It takes a lot of work to get, you know, your partner to be like, hey...
Really?
I think it kind of... not all women are like, after a while, they're like, all right, it's been the same dick for the last 2 years, you know?
Yes.
You gotta spice it up or...
You can dress it up.
Yeah, exactly. Put a little donut around it. I don't know.
Something. No,
something
but
exciting.
It's so sad. I mean, so it gets stale, you say.
Yes. And I think it can. I think that it takes a lot of work to keep it up.
Right.
You know.
So on both ends, let's say that on both ends, people will kind of strive for like 3 times a week would be tops kind of thing.
I think over a long sustained period of time.
Yeah.
Like if you're doing it 3 times a week, 2 to 3 times a week, you're doing pretty well considering that's the same, you know, dick and pussy that have been going on for the last.
Yeah, I guess. It's unfortunate. Yeah. I don't know about, you know, the average person. I know that it's not acceptable in my field. But I find, you know, there's some scientific, you know, support to what you're saying. And it's unfortunate there was even a theory called the jelly bean jar theory.
Oh, Lord.
Do you know of it?
No, please tell
okay,
me.
Okay, yes, the jelly bean jar theory. And that the theory says that the amount of sex that we will have on our first year of marriage, okay, this is how it's conducted. Every time you have sex on your first year of marriage, you throw a jelly bean into the jar. And then after the first year of marriage... Every time you have sex, you take one out. They concluded that after 20 years of marriage, there will still be jelly beans in there.
That's very sad.
That is so sad. I want to cry.
That makes me very
I know.
Sad.
But yeah, but that was the conclusion. And that kind of, you know, falls into the same place with what you're claiming, and which is very unfortunate. Yeah. But yeah, I think that the best numbers would be 3 times a day. But that's just me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would get a little tired. I don't know where we're fitting in all these 3 times a days.
Well, twice at night, 1 in the morning.
Okay.
Is that like comfortable?
Like, yeah, I was like,
I know.
No,
it's like once before bed, then in the middle of the night, then in the morning.
Oh.
Is that good?
That makes sense.
Yes.
That could work.
To me,
I mean,
it
when
makes
I have
sense.
A weekend, when I don't have to
no,
go to.
No, not weekend even.
Yeah. No, but
like,
I'm just
because
saying,
you can sleep like 4 hours and then have a break and then go back to sleep. And then have a quick.
I like
morning.
To sleep all the way through.
You're
I need
fired.
My 8 hours.
You're not
I need
a French bird. I don't think so.
I don't think I'm a French no. bird. I think I lost my French birdiness.
I know. I'm taking your wings off.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Marta Miena, who is the president of Society of Sex Therapy and Research, was very interesting about this. She also supports Shiver's research and experiments and said that the female desire is so, you know, expanded and so big. And she said that what is interesting about female desire is that, and I like her theory, she said that the female body holds a promise, a suggestion of sex, because aroused or not, it looks the same.
Yes.
We don't have a reaction. We don't have an erection. And so another reaction, another erection. Yeah. And so we can be hot and bothered, but nobody needs to know.
Right.
And so there's always the potential of engaging in sexual activity. And so that's why women can be aroused and excited all the time. And they are, she claims mm-hmm. they are. And nobody really has to answer to anything. While with men, it's so, you know, such a functional thing
yeah.
that they have to always, you know, either justify their erection or yeah. justify its absence
right.
in a
I'm
way.
I'm sorry. I just had a really long day.
I know. Yeah.
I'm
keep
just
going.
Really tired.
I know.
I don't know what happened. I don't.
Throw it in the jelly bean
yeah,
when you leave.
I'm like, give me my jelly bean back.
I know.
You don't get to put that in
there.
You're
not getting it.
I know.
So what do you think? Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that's why a woman's body is so arousing in general to
yeah.
anybody who views it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, like she says, it
holds
offers
a promise.
Promise. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also just more appealing.
Well, yeah. yeah. I agree. So Stephen Levine is also a theorist in this field, and he said something interesting. He said that sexual desire is actually a sum of everything that that makes us lean towards sexual activity and away from it. that it's like a combination of everything that draws us in and everything that pushes us away. And he said that there are three, he detailed it, and he said that it ranges between aversion, disinclination, indifference, interest, need, and passion. And he said that desire is mainly combined from three things, mainly drive, which is biological, motive, which is psychological, and then wish, which is cultural. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you? That it's so complex that we have to have all these aspects to get aroused, that this is what desire is about? I mean...
Does that make sense? That sounds like way too complicated for me.
It's a lot. You spent too long.
I got distracted right now, and if I had an erection, I would have lost it.
Yes, but this is why you don't have one.
Yeah, I know.
I know. But this is the thing, that he claimed that when it comes to, especially women, all these things have to be integrated together to get the sexual desire. To me, it sounds a little too complex.
Yeah. Well, but here's the thing. I don't doubt that the cultural aspect plays a large role.
Okay, so the wish part.
Yeah.
How is that? Why the cultural?
Because I think that's what causes a lot of women to feel inhibited and to impose their own inhibitions on themselves as well.
But if you have the drive, which is biological.
Right.
And then you have the motive that is psychological. You feel someone, you know, you get aroused. You look at someone, he's exciting you.
He's hot. Yeah.
He's hot. Why would the wish part, the cultural part,
because
throw you off?
Because you feel like it's wrong. Here's a good example.
Yes.
Culturally, you know, if you're a female in a relationship,
yes,
or if you're in a monogamous relationship,
yes,
right?
It's a good correction that, yes, you had there.
Yeah, I know. If you're a monogamous relationship,
yes,
you are not, like, there's this expectation of, you know, here's a good, I'm sorry, I'm trying to like put
yeah,
it in.
Yeah, no, well, take your time.
So I don't know what it is lately, but I feel like I see a lot of very attractive men. Good-looking men. And like, on Friday,
because you live here.
Because, well,
in this town.
Yes, because I live in LA and there are a lot of really good-looking men around.
So you're walking around
like, no, like, they're like,
aroused.
Oh, let me just take my shirt off while I'm running. And I'm all
I
like,
I know, the Adonis on the beach.
Hello.
Hello there.
I know. But, you know, and I'll text my girlfriends and I'll joke. I'll be like,
you never texted me about this. I resent that.
I'm sorry. You know what? In all fairness, it's mostly my sister. Because I'm like, so yeah. I'll text my sister,
no,
and I'll be
accept
like.
No, except that you probably think that I'm in the middle of an activity.
Exactly.
You
activities.
Avoid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which, you know.
No, I mean sexual activity.
Yeah. No, I got it. I was not confused.
I know. Okay.
But I'll be like, oh. Like, some really handsome guy just helped me with my laundry. You know, like, I was just minding my business trying to get
like
my...
This is like the beginning of a hardcore.
Right? This is,
can
like,
I take your camper?
Exactly. I'm, like, getting out of my car, and this gorgeous man on Friday...
And he's just like, there's, like, music. Right?
And he's like, yeah, hold on, ma'am. And I was like...
Oh, ma'am? You
like,
just fucking called me ma'am.
Well...
Get on your knees.
So, I know. I'm, like, carrying... I'm, like, trying to get it. I'm struggling with all my laundry.
Oh.
And he's, like...
Your underwear is flying in the air.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Literally. And so, because I have all this dirty laundry.
Jenny's even, like, excited.
And I'm, like, oh, my goodness. And I'm wearing, like, a dress, whatever.
Of course, it's all hardcore. Okay.
I know. I'm
Let's
not wearing a bra.
Keep going.
Okay, so it's
trivial,
getting to the
trivial,
point.
Trivial,
yeah.
Yes.
But I was, like, maybe that's why. I don't know. And so then he's, like, here, let me help you with your trunk. And I was, like,
let me lift it with my dick.
Yeah, I know. I was like, okay.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I'm all, okay, no problem. And he, like, opens my trunk up, and I, like, get my laundry. He's like, oh, I thought you were trying to put it in. I was like.
You mean your car? Okay.
I was like, oh, no, I was trying to get it out. And I was like.
Everything. Do you realize that the innuendos are, like, ridiculous at this point, that if someone actually listened, someone just dropped in, they're sure that we're having, like, this is a real story.
This is a true story.
This
happened to me on Friday.
Yes.
I'm just minding my business, trying to get my laundry, like, struggling, like, okay, all this stuff coming.
You're all distracted now.
I know, yes. Sorry. So then he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were trying to put it in. I was like, no, I was just trying
taking
to get
it out.
Trying to get it out. No, oh, okay. He slams it shut, and I was like, shaking after, because he was really good looking. And okay. I was like, oh my God. And then he's like, all right, well, he's trying to chat me up. And I was like super awkward. I was like, all right, well, I have all this, like, I got to go do my laundry now.
And then you feel bad because.
And then you, you know, and then I'm like, well, I didn't feel bad. I was like,
oh, you
I
didn't feel bad. Well, okay.
I was like,
no, I'm sorry.
This is just my life. Like, I was like, welcome to LA. And I'm not feeling bad, but I go up and I, you know, I text my friends and I was like, oh my God. Like, I texted this, like, I texted my sister and I was like, oh my God, this hot guy just helped me with my laundry. It was kind of like it was out of a porno. Like,
yeah, that's what I said. Like, it was hardcore. Yes. But the thing is, do you.
Wait, I didn't tell you what the response was. Is everything okay in your relationship?
Yeah, everybody's judging you immediately.
Right, because it's like if you're.
If you're aroused by someone else, something is wrong.
Something is wrong.
You're lacking.
Yeah.
Something, and I was like, you're deprived.
I was like, I am very deprived. Oh, boy.
Yes. I'm here to fix your pipes.
I know, exactly. I need a little help with that.
I know.
But, you know, it's like one of those things. It's like, no, I'm very happy, but a very handsome man comes over.
And
like,
helps me with
my laundry. Straight out of a porno.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
with the trunk opening and closing.
Opening and closing and like, here, let me help you.
And I said, your underwear is in the air.
I know, exactly.
Oh, no.
My underwear is barely underwear and it's all over the place at this point. I'm like, oh my God.
Yes.
I'm all like gathering my stuff.
Yeah, you'll have to save this story for when we have our porn people, our friends coming over. And it's coming.
Yeah.
But.
Sorry. Anyway, that was, I mean, but it's the question is everything okay?
Yeah.
And it's
how did
not,
you feel? Did you feel judged? Did you feel upset?
No, I didn't. I was confused because I was all, yeah, everything's good.
Yeah.
You know, I was like,
it has
everything's
nothing
good.
To do. I'm just happy.
I'm
happy now.
I just, like, I was like, some hot guy just came up to me and tried to come on to me. Like, I was like, I'm in a really good place right now. Everything's okay with my relationship.
Everything's
too.
Terrific,
yeah.
Yes.
And
yeah, so I guess.
Sweetheart, I'm like, that happened right outside your apartment, and I love you.
Oh, it did?
It did. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, well, we have some good looking men in
Beverly Hills. I know, there are some
and
very
some,
good
some senior citizens as well.
Yes.
So I do. I don't know what you were trying, the point you were trying to make.
No, but I'm saying that there was a point. And it was that we have judgment. Like,
right.
The cultural aspect is what kind of, like, here's an expression of, you know, I'm expressing, like, oh, wow, like, there's this really hot guy, like, being very, like, in touch with that part of my body, like, being aroused, being
that
kind of turned
you
on.
You recognize that you're aroused and
oh,
it's
exactly.
Okay.
And
then the reaction, the social reaction is bad.
The social reaction is that, you know, it's like questioning, like, but no, you should only be turned on by one person. If
right,
you're in a
which is not possible.
Which is not possible.
Right, because
you know,
you're human.
Yeah.
And women.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah.
But that's,
so,
and I think that plays a large role in our desire. And I think
the cultural
the cultural aspect.
Social, yeah. I agree. I want to touch something that I found interesting.
I got a little hot, sorry.
I know. Just you want some water?
I'm gonna
splash it on you.
I know.
Yes, I know.
Hold on.
Yeah, so... a bunch of theorists talk about the connection between the real connection between the physical and the more mental exaltation when it comes to it. But they all found that there's an aspect of, and specifically one of the neurotransmitters, which is dopamine, when it comes to arousability. And the thing is, they said that dopamine is like the female arousal, you know, neurotransmitter because it works. And I find it interesting because they said that it works both ways. It works if you are now just finished, you know, a wonderful encounter with your lover or a fantasy of the guy with the hamper.
I know, that's going to come
what were
handy.
You doing with your...
I was doing my laundry at his place. He has free laundry.
Yeah, but why in front of my house?
No, not in front of your
house.
In front of his
house. Oh, his house. I was like, taking
you're
the
like,
credit.
What are you,
I mean, it's
girl.
Like, we don't have laundry places in Beverly Hills.
You're like, I don't know what you're talking about.
It doesn't happen. Yes. Okay, so the dopamine actually, what would happen is that if you just climax, there's a release of dopamine that actually makes you feel exalted and happy and relaxed. And at the same time, you're able to run a marathon. But it works both ways. What I'm trying to say is that anything that is exciting, any situation where, for instance, and I'll take the most extreme one. For instance, I'm now someone that is participating in the Olympics and I just won a medal. Mm-hmm. My situation where I'm that excited will create, you know, the grounds for the release of dopamine that will get me to the verge of a climax. So, and isn't it interesting, like, and you get a lot of testimonials from people that won something or just, you know, an event that made them shine, you know, or feel very good about themselves. It works both ways, that either when you climax, you feel like you can do all these things and run and do and go crazy. Or if you did just the actual activity, you feel like you're on the verge of a climax. What you were gonna say? Something.
No, it makes me happy.
Mm. I mean, yeah,
makes me want to run a marathon.
I know. It's a very
never been a runner.
I know. It's very interesting. I found it very interesting, but it should be noted that specific, for instance, when it comes to dopamine, it can go both ways. Because if a woman gets adjusted, or you know, keeps getting aroused, sends release. She doesn't get the release. She's deprived of it. Say she's excited. She is aiming to have a climax, to climax with her boyfriend, partner, whoever it is, and she doesn't get there. Or he's not doing a good job, or it doesn't take place at all, the encounter. The body learns and kind of registers that the dopamine levels go up, but nothing is being, you know, there's no gratitude.
There's
no reassurance.
Sad.
And then, yeah, you go into this decline that your body learns that, like Pavlov's dog, you're not getting reimbursed.
That makes me, deeply, profoundly sad.
I know. But it is, and the reason I mention it, because we as women need to remember that our bodily reaction is very connected to our mental exaltation. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to, and this is the reason why I brought dopamine, because if your body learns that you're not being granted with that satisfaction, that reassurance that you're expecting, then you'll learn to, and you'll be deprived constantly.
So if you don't use it,
you lose it. Yes. And this is exactly what I'm saying. Yes.
That's
if you don't
sad.
Lose it, you lose. If you don't use it, you lose it. Yeah. And I'm saying use it as much as I can.
Use it as much as possible.
As you can. Yeah. And, going back to the bonobos, for instance, because I wanted to touch, we don't have a lot of time, so I wanted to make sure I touch female sexual fluidity. So I wanted to bring the bonobos again.
Yes, love those bonobos.
Because they are adorable. And, you know, female bonobos are known for their homosexuality. Mm-hmm. They're known to engage in female-on-female action. And actually...
men do too sometimes, too. Give me a banana, I'll give you a jack.
Right, but less, because as you said, it's a barter. Yeah.
It's a barter handout for bananas.
I know, yeah, it seems fair. All in all, it seems very fair, I agree. But for a female bonobo to not engage in this female-on-female activity, she's going to be excluded from a lot of things, from any sorts of activities, from gathering food, from fighting and hurting the males, even, which they do. So you kind of learn that you need to be a part of it. And also, it kind of comes naturally. And I'm mentioning the bonobos because they are our closest ancestors. And, you know, it's related. And so I'll go back to, you remember that on one of the shows, I mentioned Lisa Diamond that wrote that book, Sexual Fluidity.
Mm-hmm.
And she discussed really the idea that women are designed to find other women attractive, and that it's not anything that you should find uncomfortable. How do you feel?
I think it's normal. I think that there's sexuality in all people, and that we have the ability to be attracted to whoever we want to be attracted to, and there's a lot of attraction in general. So I think that it's, I mean, I don't see anything wrong or unnatural about, you know, being attracted to other women and being attracted to other men. And
do you find that the need that society has to put us under orientation?
Oh yeah, I think that's really weird.
You're heterosexual, you're homosexual, you're bisexual.
That's right.
This is what we have. Mm-hmm. You know, these aspects of sexuality, they kind of term us into these things. And then if, for instance, you find comfortable with your sexuality and you find another woman attractive and you may want to engage in any mm-hmm. sexual activity with her, you'll immediately be labeled a lesbian or... Right.
Or bisexual.
You're or like, bisexual.
Or
which is true because yeah. female sexuality is geared towards bisexuality yeah. because we don't... And Lisa Diamond actually specifies about why is that so accessible and why women are bisexual by nature. Mm-hmm. And she brings, I'll try to make it short, she brings two terms into this equation. She says that there's proceptivity, which is the motivation to engage, to initiate sexual encounter. And then there's the arousability, the ability to get aroused. Mm-hmm. And that the proceptivity is something that was left out of our loss of estrus, because, you know, high primates don't have estrus. We are always able, there's no heat period. We're
right.
always able to engage in
Sometimes
sexual
activity. Sometimes I feel like I'm in heat.
Right, yeah, well, yeah. I'm in heat, but not a bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. The thing is, yeah, so she says that there are two aspects to it, and the reason why proceptivity is more likely to be a bigger part in a male's sexual realm than a female's, because proceptivity usually peaks around estrogen highs, which is around the time that you're ovulating or menstruating or whatever. And then arousability is hormone independent.
Right.
It's around the month. And so it doesn't make sense biologically, evolutionary wise and everything, that we'll term it into these specific times. And so, and also, proceptivity is initiating, is the initiatory aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And then arousability is just accepting
right.
the fact that you're aroused and, you know, accepting a proposition to have sex. And so it's more suitable for women. And so if anybody from any side of the gender pole will come and suggest sex and you're aroused, you'll be inclined to play.
Yeah.
You're like, does that make sense?
Yes.
You're I think her theory is very correct, and I embrace it mm-hmm. with two hands and everything.
Yeah. And two legs.
And two legs and a vagina. yeah. And we have tons of other things to discuss, but we don't have a lot of time. You want to give our number just and
oh.
our...
Yes. So don't forget to download us on iTunes.
Please.
Yes. Sex and Dippity, like serendipity with an X instead of an R, because we're not R-rated. We're X-rated.
Yes, we are. That's cute.
Thank you. And the phone number is 1-800-893-9562. And you can reach us at drlamour.com.
Hit contact.
Thank you.
That's terrific. You yeah. didn't, you know, the R and the X is really
oh, I like that, right?
Fun.
Yeah.
How about porn? Because we're going to have a show about porn.
Ooh.
Do women watch porn?
Hell yeah.
Do women love porn?
I enjoy porn.
How many, what is the percentage of the porn viewers, do you think? Because we ain't going to touch it, but
yeah.
we're going to touch it at you know, when it comes. But I was curious, and there are, you know, there are figures.
I would love to hear those figures.
What do you think?
I don't know, about 75% of women. We'll watch
You're
it.
Really very positive.
I know. I'm in a mood.
It's not there, know. You know. Yeah, but online, you know, researchers and you know that kind of monitor who's you know say that it's about 40%.
That's very depressing.
Yes, but it's still it's
maybe they're going on their male partners' computers.
I know. No. But yeah, it's you know there's a bunch of these companies that actually.
Keep
track of who's a female and who's a male that go into these sites, and they say it's approximately 1 of 3, which is not bad, and it's actually better than a decade ago. For instance, it became
right.
better. It was close to 25%. Now it's close to 40%. And I just want to say that in regards to X-rated material and stuff, it is interesting also that women, they found that women that viewed X-rated material, and I'll go over it when we have our friends from the porn industry, but I just want to touch it that and say that if women watched stuff that is X-rated during their heightened estrogen release, they had a tendency to like it more throughout the month. So you should expose, do you understand?
Like the pornography throughout the month?
Yeah.
Oh.
If they specifically were exposed to that material when they were menstruating or they were ovulating, they found it more interesting throughout the month. So it's really crucial for you to expose your partner.
Yeah, exactly.
to X-rated material around that time, I suggest.
It like stays in the spank bank longer.
I know.
It's like, know. Oh, it's imprinted.
I just want to say something because you mentioned that attractive guy.
Oh, yeah.
you sink it into that
place
again. I know.
Oh, God, not again.
I know. do you think the women have, because I just mentioned that the time, and I'll just say it because we don't have a lot of time. So women found men that are more shapely and attractive during their ovulation. They found it much more attractive. Mm-hmm. And especially even women that were in a relationship during this time, if their partner, their pair bonding partner, was not
was
endowed,
at work, perhaps?
Was not endowed with these features, they found other men. You know, in other words, if you don't have that V, I'm taking my V elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
In all fairness, I was ovulating when this occurred.
I was. You see? I was just right on the money. But the thing is, they even mentioned, women mentioned that during that time that they were ovulating, they were excited and they liked handsome men even more because they were all hot and bothered.
Yeah.
They said that they were more emphasizing on masculine features than on intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So who should be, you know, pretty and shut up now?
Yeah, exactly. Just saying.
I know,
saying. Like, he's all, well, I'm sorry, I'm going to say this really quickly. But it's like, why did you describe him as handsome? I was like, well, we didn't really, like, discuss his hopes and dreams. I just kind of looked at the dude. You know?
Licked?
Looked. Well, I don't know if that was a
did you lick?
Now I'm all hot and bothered.
I know,
he's
going
out of town for
a
week. It's his own fault.
You're absolutely right. Look, on that note,
yes,
I enjoyed it, honey.
Me too.
It was fun, and there's so much to say. I think you should have a sip of the water.
I think I'll get a sip of something later.
I know. Well, we have a lot to say, and it's not our next show, but the upcoming show, we'll have some guests from the porn industry, which we're very excited about. And so join us.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman.
And I'm Luann Hernandez.
Bye.
Bye-bye.